Oh, just imagine how wonderful your life would be if you never got married. Just think back on the ass while you're waiting for your trial to begin. That'll teach you.
See,
damn it.
I can always count on you to make me laugh.
Well, you know, I'm just a little ray of sunshine.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Have you gotten any cold weather?
Yes.
Did it get down to 80?
It got down to 70 overnight.
Ooh.
It was nice.
I was wondering if you got the same cold front that everybody else got.
Yes.
Yes. It was in the upper 40s this morning when I walked out.
Holy crap. Yeah, that's too cold.
No, it's refreshing.
No.
Being that 2 days ago it was 93 out.
Yeah, well, it'll be that hot again soon, so.
Well, hopefully that's the end of hurricane season, though.
Isn't it the end of November?
Yes.
Or is it November 1st?
No, it's the end of November, but hopefully that was the last hurricane for a while.
Let's hope so.
I'm sure the people in your state would like a break.
I think so.
Yeah.
They're not my people. I don't care.
Come on, they're your fellow Floridians, man.
Who gives a shit?
Okay. Never mind. Never mind. All right. Yeah. So I did something for you this week.
Oh, God. What?
I forced myself to watch a TV show.
Okay.
I watched the premiere.
And you hated it?
Well, I watched the premiere episode of The Conners.
Uh-huh.
There's 30 minutes I'm never going to get back.
Really? You didn't like it at all?
So I wanted to see how they were going to handle Roseanne not being on the show anymore.
Right.
And it opens, and I guess it's 3 weeks after she's overdosed. Or would they think she has a heart attack?
Yes.
And there's this revelation that she's been hiding pills and that she actually died of an overdose, and Dan can't handle that, and he starts blaming the woman who gave her the pills.
Right.
Which turns out to be Mary Steenburgen for some reason.
Yes.
And I'm like, So is she on the show now that Last Man Standing is, or not Last Man Standing, Last Man on Earth is off the air? Like, is this where she's going? And
she needs to work to pay those benefits.
I guess. I mean, I just felt, I don't know if they were doing it for the sake of Roseanne, which seems really weird since the show fired her or the network fired her, but
right.
To have an entire episode of like we're so sad, and then we're gonna throw in this thing where Dan finally accepts his gay grandson.
Right.
I'm like, okay, sure. I don't see how they can go on without Roseanne at this point. It just doesn't seem like it's gonna be anything.
I don't know.
Did you enjoy it?
Well, I did.
Okay.
But again, I like the, oh, that's so-and-so. She used to be on the show way back when. like Dan's sister suddenly shows up.
Right.
It's like, okay, I haven't seen her in forever. I think this was a very utilitarian episode. They had to get this episode out of the way.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So now that that's done, I think there's going to be... I wish they would let Laurie Metcalf just do what she does.
Okay.
Because I think that she does very clever physical comedy, and I think she's very funny.
Okay.
whether she's Sheldon's mother or she's Roseanne's sister or any of the other roles she has played throughout her career. She's always doing something different. I think she's hilarious.
Well, I definitely think she was the best part of the show by far.
Yeah. Well, definitely, because the kid who played the son isn't an actor. And the daughter who played the blonde, I mean, why didn't they just leave the other blonde? And, you know, this one could be the cameo.
Right.
So the cast, the supporting cast is no longer as strong as it should have been.
Right.
But, you know, you bring back Morgan Fairchild and Sandra Bernhardt and, you know, Martin Mull. He's still working.
You
He's
know,
CW or you, Fox or whatever.
You know, it would be the ultimate insult.
What?
For Roseanne. Bring back Tom Arnold. And be like, here you go. Like, you can now be the head of the show. And it becomes the whatever the hell his name in the show was.
Yeah. What's his name?
That guy. Him. Yeah, I just, I don't know. I wasn't crazy about the reboot in the beginning anyway.
Uh-huh.
I just felt like a cash grab. But at the end of the day, I guess they're just going to try to make this work despite Roseanne.
Sure.
Which I guess is whatever.
And it is a cash grab.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll see how everything else pans out, but I don't foresee me ever watching the show again.
No?
No.
All right.
But
whatever.
I gave it a chance.
Yeah.
I knew that you'd probably watch it, so I was like, I guess I better watch it too so we can discuss.
Well, thanks for trying.
Well, I try.
That was mighty white of you.
I know.
Did you watch anything else this week?
I watched a whole bunch of shit this week.
Yeah?
Yes.
Did you watch the Rookie?
I did watch The Rookie.
I kind of liked it.
You
but
know,
boy, are cops dicks.
Yeah, when you're told your first day that, like, I don't like you because you're nothing more than a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I'm sure that kind of shit goes on. I did enjoy it simply for the fact that it's not a procedural, which I kind of felt like it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's a story about this guy that got divorced and winds up in the middle of a situation where he kind of feels like he can make a difference.
Sure.
The only thing that felt forced to me was the relationship with the other rookie.
I didn't see it coming, but then after it did, it was kind of like, oh, well, this is kind of stupid. This is just a made up obstacle.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's not enough of an obstacle for him to be a 40-year-old rookie on the LAPD. They
right.
have to throw in a love interest too that will fuck up his life in some other way down the road.
Right.
And I felt like that was unneeded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you want to make her a strong female cop, and maybe down the road there's some, like, sexual tension between them, that's fine.
But, yeah, it was too soon.
You're talking about a dude that's in his 40s and a girl that just got out of the academy that's probably, like, 22, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And it just that just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's Nathan Fillion being Nathan Fillion. He's a good actor.
And you know, the only thing that turned me off in the series before I even watched it was the amount of makeup he has on in the trailer photos.
Well, yeah.
You know, like the advertising photo for The Rookie.
Yeah.
It's like, who did your lip liner?
Somebody who doesn't know how to use Photoshop.
Yeah, apparently, because it looked really weird.
But
or maybe he's two-faced now, and that's the best they can get out of him.
But I mean, does his makeup in the show bother you?
No.
No? Okay.
Not at all. Nope. I think Magnum PI is still good.
Yeah.
So far, I like the little tension between Magnum and Higgins. I like that one of my favorite character actresses is on the show now.
Who's that?
Her name's Amy Hill.
Okay.
She's done a bunch of stuff. If you've watched TV, you've seen her do all kinds of shit. She was in this weird sitcom with Julie Brown, not Downtown Julie Brown, but the other Julie Brown, the Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun.
Oh, okay. Wait, what's her name? Amy what?
Amy Hill.
Hill, okay.
Yep. She does a lot of character stuff because she's an older Asian woman. She was on...
Okay.
You know, that show, Mom?
Uh-huh.
She was one of the residents of the apartment complex. She was on that show that Joel McHale had for one season. Anyway, I just like her, and she's on it now.
She's been in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Yep.
She's been in Preacher?
Yeah, she does a lot of varied stuff.
She was in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah. She was Venom.
She was the decathlon moderator. You know, that pivotal scene.
Yes.
Yeah, she's done a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did see that they're coming up with a reboot of Alice. You might be too young for Alice.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, I'm not. Unfortunately, we watched Alice when I was a kid.
Okay. Well, good. Then you're not as young as I thought you were.
Thanks. I haven't been told that in a very long time.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work in this day and age.
Is it a reboot with the same cast? Is it Linda Lavin?
No. No, because Linda Lavin plays Jewish grandmothers now.
Oh. Okay.
And I don't know how well the trailer park Kiss My Grits is going to go over in the with the millennial audience.
Right.
It might go, you know, we'll see.
Is Polly Holiday still alive?
I don't know. If she is, she's quite old.
Hang on, let me look.
Yes, last time I saw,
she's still alive.
She? And how old is she?
She was born in 1937. Do the math.
70, 81.
81?
81, going to be 82 this next year.
Her last credit is in 2010, so it's been a while.
Oh. She used to be, after Alice, she was on Home Improvement as, was it Tim Allen's mother?
Well, she had her own show as
Flo.
Yeah,
called Flo.
Yeah.
Yes. Didn't last long.
No.
She
was on Private Benjamin.
Yep.
She was in Gremlins.
See, that's my favorite part. That's why I thought she wasn't alive, because I had this image of like...
her flying little... out the door?
Exactly. Flying out the door on the little escalator thing in the house. I was like, oh my God, that poor woman, and it's captured on film.
Kiss my grits!
Yes.
She was in The Parent Trap with...
Lindsay Lohan?
With Lindsay Lohan? Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. Look at that.
I think they should bring her back.
They should.
Wheel her on in. Too bad they can't get Vic Tay back.
He's well, dead. I mean, they've got a little bit of DNA that's stuck to a spatula. So, you know, they could just regenerate him.
It'll be Mel's son.
Oh, there you go. Little Melvin.
Yes.
He wants to be a real chef and not a fry cook. And hilarity ensues.
Yeah, see? He's got to come back after his father dies suddenly to keep the diner afloat.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
And it just so happens that Alice's...
spirit is daughter still living there?
Or somebody...
Her son.
Her son. Okay, her son... is down on hard times, so he's got to go work as a waiter.
Mm. You're giving this an awful lot of thought. I'm proud of you.
Well, you know. But Mel's son has to at least wear the little beanie cap thing. I feel like that's important.
You know who could play Mel?
Who?
Big Pussy.
Excuse me? What'd you call me?
Exactly. I think that would be inspired casting.
I think you're right.
Okay. Then it's decided. Let's make the offer.
All right.
We're doing our own version of the Alice reboot.
It's going to be on YouTube.
Yes.
It's going to have no budget.
And you're haunted by the ghost of Flo.
Yes. Okay. That'll work.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, there's another interesting show on last week that premiered.
Which is?
It's called The Kids Are All Right.
Okay.
It's a sitcom about a big Irish family. And the father is played by Michael Cudlitz.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've seen the trailer for that when they released it.
Did not recognize him at all. I finally had to look it up to see who he was.
Yeah, well, I mean...
No, it's Abraham.
He doesn't...
Without the mustache.
He didn't have the stupid mustache anymore. His hair is not red.
Yep.
Yeah, he's... And I don't know if you've seen the commercials. I think it was during The Walking Dead where him and Eugene
are doing therapy.
Are in therapy, and they put like the big red stupid mustache on him.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, all right.
Yeah. That was cool.
But isn't it kind of like, isn't The Kids Are All Right kind of like The Goldbergs where it's being told by like one of the kids?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
There's no original ideas.
But isn't it on the same network?
Is
that on ABC?
Oh, yeah.
We want to do something like the Goldbergs, but just with a big family.
Well, done. And they did the other one, the Real O'Neills.
Okay.
That may or may not have been the same network, but again, it was the Irish family and, you know... pulling one over on the church, and the oldest son is gay, and
right.
Anywho,
but the kids are
big
all right.
Irish families.
While the Goldbergs take place in the '80s, this will take place in the '70s, and then they said, "Okay, sure, we'll give you some money for that."
Who do you got on your cast?
Oh, you remember the guy that got his head beaten in?
The Chinese one?
No. Not that guy. The other guy.
The other guy.
You remember the other guy? The guy
no,
with the big mustache? No?
No. Was he in that one?
Yes.
What, that Rosita? Rosita had a mustache.
No. No, the dude, no? The guy that Rosita was sleeping with.
Don't remember.
Oh. All right. Never mind. Well, we got this guy named Michael Cutlets. How about that?
Yes.
He was in Band of Brothers.
Okay.
Okay. Sold. And that's how Hollywood works. No.
Oh, okay, good. I was worried. I couldn't keep up.
Speaking of Walking Dead, did you watch last night's episode?
Yes, I did.
Yeah? What'd you think?
Yeah. I was bored out of my mind. Like, Jesus, just kill each other.
I mean, so the star of the show only has 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
And... they waste time on stupid shit.
I think that Maggie is going to kill him by accident.
See, now a lot of people are thinking that he's going to get on that stupid helicopter.
And be traded?
And be traded for like a better life somewhere else or whatever the fuck that is now.
If it was a better life, don't you think that Jadis would have tried to do something a lot sooner?
Well, I mean, I think...
And why is she still keeping in touch with him when she's moved to... Where is she? Is she in Alexandria or is she in Hilltop?
No, she's in Alexandria.
So she's moved to a secure location where she's got anything she would need.
Here's what I think is going on. I think that Jadis really liked being...
A bitch?
Well, no. She liked being in charge of a group.
Okay.
So... when the garbage people were in full swing, she didn't want to be anywhere else because they were taking people and they were trading them for like the really super cool fucking cargo container that she was living in. And they had, like, they would trade people and get supplies, and they had this mysterious aura around them of being these garbage people. And it was like an art project to her, and that's what she liked. And then when Negan, when she had captured Negan, she was going to trade Negan for a way out. And when that didn't work, she went and hung out with the people in Alexandria.
Right.
Which was all fine and good, including a new boyfriend in Father Gabriel.
Right.
Until the saviors turned on her and thought that she was the one that killed that guy and nobody else stood up for her.
Right.
So then she goes, all right, fuck this. I'm out of here. I'm just going to go. I'm going to find somebody to trade and, like, I'm out of here. And then Gabriel shows up and then she hits him over the head. You know.
Yeah. But what are they using these people for?
Well, there's a theory online that that's what happened to Heath. Remember Heath a couple of seasons ago?
No.
Who went on the run with the supply run with the dark-haired fat one that hasn't lost any weight in the zombie apocalypse.
Eugene?
No, girl. I don't know her name.
The vet? The fat one.
The vet. No. No, she was the girlfriend of the vet.
Okay. I kind of sort of remember.
Her.
I just don't care about these people anymore.
So her and Heath was the black guy with the dreadlocks who... They were out on the run and he suddenly disappeared.
Okay.
So there's a new theory that they took him and traded him for something. So that they've been out. The whole reason that they were spying on Alexandria in the beginning was because they were going to take people and trade them for whatever the fuck this thing is with the helicopters.
Okay.
So... we're going to see at some point Heath come back or somebody's going to go on the helicopter and they're going to get to this place and all of a sudden Heath is going to be there.
Mm.
So there's this whole idea that they've been setting this up for a while.
Yeah.
And that it's not just what, like, just this idea that, hey, Andrew Lincoln wants to leave, so we're just going to concoct this thing. Like, when they captured him last year, they wrote a big A on the door. And nobody could figure out what that A meant. And now it's coming around that, like, they ask him on the radio, is it an A or a B?
Right.
So Rick is obviously an A. Jadis, or Anne, whatever you want to call her, said to Father Gabriel, you know, I always thought you were a B, but you're not, which means they're looking for, like, leader types. And I guess those leader types get you more in the way of supplies.
So what do you think the helicopter people are doing? Do you think they're gathering up leaders and followers and kind of dumping them in communities that lack one or the other?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's got something to do with the chick that showed up with the two women last season to talk to Maggie.
Georgie and the lesbians.
Georgie, yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it has something to do with Georgie. That whatever this community that they live in, maybe there's, like, they're bringing in certain people that they know are leader types in order to... build this community to the best it can be or something.
I don't know, but whatever it is, I hope they wrap it up in 2 weeks because the show's already going down the toilet. So
yeah, you don't like this season?
Yeah.
You don't like the fact that they set up and paid off the whole mystery of who was taking the saviors?
They did?
Yes.
Who was that? The three girls?
Yes. At the end.
That was it?
That was it.
You call that payoff?
Okay,
that was stupid.
They set up a mystery of who was taking these people.
Yeah.
You found out who and why. And that A-Rot or whatever her name was the last member of the crew who came and killed all the men.
Right.
And now the vendetta is done and things will go back to normal.
They will?
Well, that's what they're hoping.
Never works like that.
No. No, but that's what they're hoping.
We'll have to see, because I don't know. I wasn't real impressed. I think that they've spread themselves too thin, because they're spread all over the place now.
Yes.
And I think there's going to be a lot more bloodshed, and not from the zombies coming our way.
Well, it's if they follow the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the Whisperers are coming. There's going to be major carnage,
right?
With the survivors coming up here very shortly.
Do we even need the Whisperers?
Well, I mean, it's always another group of evil people that they're always coming up against.
Yeah, you get kind of tired of that, though, don't you?
Well, I mean, I think what they're missing is like that works in a comic book.
Right.
It doesn't work for a TV show.
I would tend to agree with that.
I think they need to find a different avenue other than following the comic books to kind of perpetuate this story. There doesn't always have to be a big bad guy. Okay, they did Negan. Everybody wanted to see Negan. And then simultaneously in the comic books, they introduce the Whisperers. And then everybody's like, oh, well, we got to see the Whisperers. Let's see the Whisperers. And it's like, do we really? Like, okay, I guess we're going to do the Whisperers. Which I guess will be good, because if they follow the comic book stuff, like towards the end of the season, it's going to be like a completely new cast of characters.
Yeah.
With the exception of, like, Daryl.
Well, I think Daryl and Carol are the only ones remaining, aren't they, at this point?
Well, in the comic books, Carol died at the prison.
Right.
And Daryl doesn't exist in the comic book.
Right.
So it would be interesting to see where they go with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the people that are still alive in the comic books are dead on the show.
Right.
So I guess we'll see.
And some of the people in the comic books are different people on the show.
Yes.
So that's bizarre.
They've given deaths and other traits of these characters to other characters.
Yeah.
Who never ever appear in the comics, so.
I just want to see Maggie take down Negan.
Negan?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Think she's going to get killed trying to release him and kill him? And that's how he's going to escape?
Well, see, it's weird because they all said on the new showrunner made a comment a couple of months ago that Maggie's story was going to be open-ended.
So she could come back.
And so that she could come back when, you know, that new show fails.
Hmm.
They could technically bring her back. Like, she goes to see Georgie and she's just gone for a while.
Right.
You know, she takes the kid and gets on a helicopter or the car that the twins were driving, and she's just gone for a couple seasons.
Mm.
I don't know.
And we still haven't seen Daryl's girlfriend come back.
Which girlfriend?
The one in the burning house.
The one in the burning house.
Like two seasons ago? The season where they all got split up at the end.
Oh, no, that was Beth. She's dead.
Oh, she is?
Oh, yeah.
No. Is that who I'm thinking of?
That's the one that died in the hospital.
Oh.
With the cops.
Okay. Whatever. That's how engaged I am in the show right now. Way to go, showrunner. You're awesome. Hey, how about a show about a widow and her son, and they drive across country to, like, oh, I don't know, Arizona, and she gets a job as a waitress in a diner.
We're just going to keep circling back around to that, aren't we?
And it's all zombies. See, that would be hilarious.
A zombie version of Alice?
Yes. You don't have to write much of a script other than...
I would probably watch that show.
See? There should be an entire network dedicated to 70s and 80s TV shows done with zombies.
There you go.
You know, the Brady Brides, but they're all zombies. Escape from Gilligan's Island with the zombie Globetrotters.
There you go. Oh, kids, look that up. That was a magnificent piece of television.
That was incredible.
Gilligan's Island with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yep. Just a little spoiler alert. Robots. Same.
Aren't they back on the island by their own, like, free will at that point? And they open,
because
like,
because they got tired of all the publicity and, yes.
But don't they open, like a resort or something?
Yes. Okay. It's like Gilligan's Fantasy Island.
Gilligan's Island. Oh, you can buy the DVD, John.
Oh, no, I need Blu-ray.
Oh. And it was called The Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island.
Okay.
A basketball team and a mad scientist joined Gilligan and Skipper and the rest of the castaways.
Hilarious. Well, worth any of that crap you watched today.
Bob Denver.
Yep.
So the synopsis on Wikipedia is, the former castaways own and operate a vacation resort on the formerly deserted island called The Castaways, which was introduced in the previous film, The Castaways on Gilligan's Island. Thurston Howell III has some business in the mainlands, and his son Thurston Howell IV came to the island and runs a hotel business with his father while his father is working. The Harlem Globetrotters, a traveling group of merry basketball players, are on a plane ride over the Pacific Ocean when it's engine trouble, and they are forced into an emergency landing onto Gilligan's Island. The castaways heard from the news on Mr. Howell's private TV. After a brief time struggling in the jungle, they are discovered by Gilligan and the skipper, and welcomed to the castaways. The castaways play a fun game against the Globetrotters and are soundly defeated, with the Globetrotters thinking to themselves, this group has little basketball ability. And then a corporate raider shows up.
Because those were big in the late 70s.
And they have a new team called the New Invincibles, which is a team of robot players.
Yeah, so... good times.
Yeah.
Classic TV.
1981.
Oh, the good old days.
Oh, man. So did you watch the first episode of Arrow?
Yes.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It's very gritty. It's like going back to the first series, the first season.
Well, and I think that's intentional.
Okay.
So spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it. For the first couple of years, they did flashbacks and to tell the story of Oliver. And now they're telling flash forwards, very Lost like, to where they are telling the story of his son, William.
Yes.
So while I don't think William is a time-traveling vigilante who winds up taking his father's place as the Green Arrow, I do feel like at some point in the future, he's going to take up that mantle to avenge his father for some reason.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. There's an old grizzly Roy Harper who shows up, who I didn't even recognize at first.
Right.
I had to watch it twice and been like, is that Is that Colton Haynes? Really? You know, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was one of the better premieres in the last couple of years.
Okay.
I like the whole him getting picked on in prison and then deciding that it's time to take a stand and then mm-hmm. beat the shit out of the guy with like the weights.
Yeah.
Well, first he takes out a guy with a book and I was like, wow, okay, that's some book. And then he takes out the other guy with the weight set and it's like, wow, all right, he's mean in business now.
Right.
But you know, it's that whole weird thing, like the guards aren't stopping them from fighting.
Right, which I thought was kind of weird. It's like, did he make a deal with the cops or?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was very strange. But I mean, I kind of like the direction they're going in.
Yeah.
This is another show that has a new showrunner this year.
Yeah.
And has decided that they want to do something a little bit different and take it kind of back to the original idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I hope that it kind of goes the way of The Flash, where they do a bunch of separate little stories instead of one season long arc.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Did you see the pictures of Stephen Amell dressed in the Flash costume?
Yes.
He's a little too big to be the Flash.
Yeah.
One of the things that, even though people get on him for being skinny, like Grant Gustin is built like a runner.
Mm-hmm.
It makes total sense that the Flash be a thin, wiry dude.
Right.
Makes no sense for him to be the size that he is in comic books, and it makes no sense for him being the size of Stephen Amell.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after you see that prison workout where, like, the dude is just ripped, and they're squeezing him into, like, the Flash outfit.
Yeah.
I think they should have done a different Flash outfit, though. Like, I don't think it should just be a version of Barry's. I think it should be totally different. It should be like the 90s version.
You mean the red tights with the big yellow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The
big muscle suit thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, why not?
Then he should team up with the Greatest American Hero.
Well, that's Batgirl.
That's Batwoman. Okay. Batwoman. Okay.
She's already in the show.
Oh.
Shh, okay. Don't tell anybody. It's a secret.
Yes.
Did you watch any of the Doctor Who stuff?
I did not. I keep forgetting because I have to search for BBC America.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got like 75 channels of Telemundo and Sabre Gigante and Home Shopping Network, and there's a Jewish network and a Christian network and a Catholic network and all the evangelical networks. And, you know, it's just too much effort.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind then.
Was it any good?
It's all right.
Is this the one where they debuted the new TARDIS?
Yes, it is. Yes, it was.
Okay.
It's very strange. It's so anybody who watches Doctor Who will know, but if you don't, whenever they get a new doctor, the TARDIS changes to reflect on that personality.
Sure.
Especially in the current era of Doctor Who. It's always changed for every doctor. It became really mechanical looking over the Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi era.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kind of gone back to a more, what's the word I'm looking for? Organic shape. Okay.
More Geiger-ish?
Kind of. And it's all crystal now.
Oh.
So,
well,
like,
she's a girl. They like sparkly things.
So the center of the console has always had something that's moved or turned or pulsated up and down so that you knew that that was the power source of the TARDIS. Mm-hmm. And this is a crystal that I guess lights up. And there was this really weird shot where she decides that she's going to get them going on the TARDIS, and she pulls a bunch of levers, and there's a little crystal TARDIS that sits on the console and spins.
Okay.
But it's like something that you could find in a store. Like, okay, like something we could be walking around MegaCon and you could see on a table, like a little floating TARDIS that like they're spinning. Mm-hmm. That's what it looked like. And I was like, that's a really odd pull for this, but okay.
Well, maybe they've already have the market in like selling them. So
I guess. And then
here's your official TARDIS.
And then, for this TARDIS, there's a foot pedal that you step on and the TARDIS console, dispenses a cookie.
What?
Yes. Yes. And it's a custard cookie, I think. And apparently it's Jodie Whittaker's favorite.
Okay.
So they've worked that into the show. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. But yes, there's now a cookie dispenser on the TARDIS.
Well, you know, what better place to have a cookie dispenser? You know,
I guess
you're out saving the world from, you know, the evil Narcan, and
you need to nosh on something. Hey, you step
need
on
a little something.
Eh. He is a cookie.
You know, somewhere there's like this supreme being saying, "See, they've learned that if you step on the pedal, you get a reward."
You come to find out, it's all like a big trap.
Yes.
They're just wanting to see how these Time Lords will handle, like, all this responsibility.
It's just a very screwed up video game.
Get a fish cookie.
Yes.
We've now worked two references to Lost into the show.
And nobody noticed.
I will say, I know that you don't have Netflix streaming, right?
I do not.
Okay.
I'm still trying to figure out how to cut the cord.
So Netflix did something interesting in the last 2 weeks. They canceled two of the Marvel shows.
Yes.
So they canceled Iron Fist originally after a lackluster second season.
Mm-hmm.
But with, funny enough, with a finale where you're like, I want to see where this goes. I want to see what they're going to do with these characters. Finally.
Right.
And then they canceled it. And then this week they canceled Luke Cage.
Right.
And apparently, according to inside sources, Netflix, the agreement that Netflix and Marvel have together, they have to agree on the budget of the show and the direction of the show. And Netflix was not happy with the proposed budget, nor were they happy with the direction that they were going to take Luke Cage in. So they said, we're just going to walk away and we're going to cancel the show.
Is that really what they're doing?
That's what people are saying.
Okay.
That's the story on the street. Now, whether that's true or whether Marvel is now pulling their shows back so that they can put them on Hulu.
Yeah.
Later on, I don't know. But part of that also said that because of the agreement with Netflix, if they make any more standalone series with those characters, they'd have to pay Netflix because they were contracted for multiple seasons.
Hmm.
And if they're going to take it to their own service, they'd still have to pay Netflix. So then they're thinking, well, maybe they'll do like a Heroes for Hire thing over on Hulu with those two characters. But you can't really do that because they really need to interact with Matt Murdock and Jessica Jones. And like the Punisher needs to be able to interact with Daredevil and all that kind of shit.
Right.
So they're only going to have three shows as of right now instead of five. Which I think is kind of interesting.
Hmm.
But the reason I bring that up is because they just started season three of Daredevil. Well, they released the whole thing.
Right.
In episode four, have you seen any of Daredevil?
I have not.
Okay. So in season one of Daredevil, in one of the episodes, there is a single take fight scene that is in a hallway that lasts for about 5 minutes. And it's one continuous shot. The camera follows Daredevil back and forth down this hallway as he's fighting this large group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they've tried to replicate that in every season. In season two, it's down a staircase, but you can tell there's cuts in it. Like there's really fast whip pans that are designed to hide the cut in the middle and stuff like that.
Sure. Yep.
This year, they did an 11-minute fight scene where they follow the character Matt Murdock through a prison that is having a riot.
Okay.
And it stops in the middle of this fight scene. There's like 4 full minutes of dialogue between him and another character. And then another like 6 minutes on the other side of that, of getting out of the prison.
Mm.
It's an amazing piece of footage. There's certain single take things that have happened in TV shows and stuff. Did you ever watch, what was the show? True Detectives. On HBO?
Nope.
There was a 9-minute single take scene in that season of the first season of that with Matthew McConaughey.
Okay.
This rivals that.
Really?
I mean, this is really, really well done, because not only are they switching out between Charlie Cox, who plays Matt Murdock, and his stunt double, they are going down hallways. They're being pushed into different rooms, all in a single take. And then they wind up being taken into another room where they have this conversation, and then they go back out. And it's just really, really well done.
Hmm. Okay.
I know that the original fight scene, the season one is on YouTube. That you could like look up and see what they're, like, it's really cool, because in the first one, it's a hallway with a bunch of doors, and they would knock Charlie Cox into one of the doorways, and when Daredevil came back out, it was a stunt double.
Okay.
But, like, you couldn't really tell until, like, you started seeing, like, the moves he was doing, and then you're like, oh, that's obviously not Charlie Cox. But then he'd be hit into another door, and he'd come back out, and it'd be Charlie Cox. Like, so it was like seamless stuff like that. And they're doing that here too. It's really, really well done.
Hmm. Okay.
So I know you won't see it because you don't have streaming, but if anybody's on the fence about watching season 3, it's really, really well done. And if you're going to sit through the Defenders and Iron Fist, at least watch the good show, which is Daredevil.
Okay.
So yeah, that was about all I watched this week. I mean, I watched a lot of shit.
I was going to say that was quite a bit.
And I finished the Harry Potter series with my kid.
Oh, how sweet.
Yes, we did a 2-day Deathly Hallows run.
Mm. That's a lot for, what is she, 8?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of heavy.
Well, I mean, so anybody who's seen the movies knows that the character of Dobby dies at the end of the first part of Deathly Hallows.
Right.
And Dobby has been her favorite. So much so where she says, is Dobby in this movie? Like, before we start whatever we're going to watch. And I'm like, It all runs together in my head. So I'm like, maybe? Like, I know he gets in it towards the end. I'm not really sure what movie that is, but I knew what happened in this movie.
Right.
And as soon as Dobby appears, she's like, yay, Dobby's in this one. And I was like, oh, shit. So it gets to the end, and Dobby gets a knife to the chest and falls over and dies. And I turn and I look at her, and she's got her hand over her mouth. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Okay. And the movie ends. I'm like, you okay? She's like, I'm sad now. Dobby died. And I'm like,
Daddy, why did you make me watch that? I'm going to need therapy.
No.
Or ice cream.
Yeah.
I'll take ice cream.
So we got through it all. She watched all 8 movies, and she immediately turned around and said, I want to watch them all again. Like I want to start over. I want to see them all again. So I'm taking that as a good sign.
Yeah.
That, like, she really enjoyed the series.
Now, are you throwing in Fantastic Beasts yet?
That's next week.
Oh, okay.
Because Fantastic Beasts 2 comes out in November.
Yep.
And that would be a perfect place for her to pick up going to the movies to see these things.
There you go.
So she's familiar with who Dumbledore is. And they mention Grindelwald in the Harry Potter series, so she knows who that is. So it's all coming together. So, yeah, she's very taken with Harry Potter.
Well, good. Maybe that will save her from Kardashians.
I hope so. If I have anything to do with it.
Right. Well, that's kind of sweet.
She wants to, and now she wants to watch the original Star Wars films, so we'll be jumping on that soon.
Which version are you doing? Are you going to do the machete version?
Yes, we're doing, I'm going to show her 4 and 5.
Right.
And then once Darth Vader says, I am your father, we're going to watch, I'm debating on whether or not to let her watch 1.
Okay.
But it's got a kid in it, and she likes movies that have, you know, kid actors in them. So sure. It might be okay. So we'll watch 1, 2, and 3, which ends with Anakin becoming Darth Vader, which brings it all back around, and then we finish with 6.
Nice.
So, yeah, we'll end up doing that, too.
And is there homework involved? Does she have to do an assignment or anything?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course. There's a whole, like, you know, how closely are you paying attention? What are the coordinates to Alderaan?
Yes.
You know, shit like that.
Because kids love that stuff. They eat that stuff up. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, you know. You know, Harry Potter for her. Star Wars for me, whatever. It'll all work. She'll love it.
Very cool.
It's got strong female characters in it. At least
it
one.
It does.
I'm sure she'll love the Ewoks. It's all good. I think she liked the Porgs in Last Jedi, so.
Oh, I'm sure she would.
You know.
Yep.
There's a good fighting chance that she'll like the Ewoks.
Yeah, I'd say pretty much. Pretty much. I think that's going to go without saying. Well, that's good. Well, you know how we've been taking to announcing parts of our childhood dying off?
Uh-oh, who died?
Well, didn't die, but retired.
Oh, who?
Carol Spinney, the Muppeteer, who was Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird, has officially retired from Sesame Street.
Aww.
Very sad.
But the dude, I mean, the dude spent how many years with his hand up in the air?
Well, exactly.
For Big Bird. I mean, he has earned the right to, I think, retire.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do the voice, too? Or was that somebody else?
I thought he did both voices.
He did? Okay. I wonder who they're going to get to replace him.
I don't know if they will.
Does Big Bird just sail off into the sunset?
He and Mr. Snuffleupagus confirmed their love for each other. And then in a little quiet ceremony in the backyard, Ernie and Bert marry them.
Well, okay.
It's going to be very sweet.
And then they have a swingers party very with sweet. Bert and Ernie and Big Bird and Snuffleupagus?
Yes. Except this new character they've been working on, this big orange Cheeto, he builds a giant wall so Rosita and Luis and Sonia aren't allowed to go. They have to stay outside the big wall.
Okay. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be weird. Like Sesame Street without Big Bird would be weird.
No, actually, they are keeping him alive.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they're going to find somebody else to stand in that costume. Bent
they
over.
Already have. Apparently, since 2015, he was no longer in the suit.
Oh, really?
He was just doing the voice. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I mean, and for anybody who's really curious on how this works, you should Google the Big Bird suit.
Yes.
Because that dude spent his days with his, with one arm was Big Bird's arm, right? His left arm. And then his right hand was straight up in the air doing
the beak ahead.
And he's staring straight down at a monitor that's like mounted to his chest so that he can see what the camera's seeing and he knows his eye lines and all that other shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he spent decades in that fucking position.
50 years.
55 fucking decades doing that. That is crazy.
Retiring at 84.
Wow.
What kind of shitty society do we live in where we gotta force this guy to hold his hand over his head at 84 years old?
Or is it that he really enjoyed his job?
Nah.
And he loved bringing happiness to children.
Oh, whatever.
I mean, I do feel like maybe he should be honored at, I don't know, maybe the daytime Emmys.
I would think so.
You know, for that much fucking service. I mean, everybody in that room grew up with him as fucking Big Bird.
Yep.
They better fucking recognize.
He was born on the day after Christmas in 1933.
Wow.
And he was named Carol because he was born the day after Christmas.
Oh, jeez. There was a documentary about him, wasn't there?
Yes, just recently.
Do you remember what that was called?
It was called Big Bird, a documentary.
No.
I am Big Bird. I am Big Bird. Yeah, see? Pretty damn close, wasn't I, asshole? All right. Here you go.
Whatever.
Oh, and he got a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Emmys in 2006.
Well, they need to give him another one.
So now that we've caught up...
But that was 12 years... The dude put in 12 more years after that.
Yeah.
They need to come up with a new one.
A new what?
A new award? A new award.
A more than lifetime achievement award?
Yes.
A, oh my God, you're not dead yet award?
A lifetime and then some.
Mm. Well, there you have it.
I guess you can only rent it. There's nowhere to like watch it. But all the usual suspects. You can rent it from YouTube, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, iTunes.
Yep.
Don't go to iTunes. It's fucking $3 more than everywhere else.
Really?
Yeah.
Bastards.
Wow.
Damn Mac users. I get your Apple right here.
Yeah, I used to be one of those people. Not anymore. So was he only ever a Muppeteer?
He had done a couple of shows of his own way, way, way back in the day. Nothing you would have ever heard of.
Okay.
There's one about two puppet cats, Mr. Picklepuss and Pop. I believe that's what Paul Rubens was watching in that movie theater. Mr. Picklepuss and Pop.
Yeah, he was beating his Picklepuss.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he joined Sesame Street in the inaugural season in 1969.
Yep.
He nearly left after the first season because he was not getting acceptable pay, but somebody named Kermit Love persuaded him to stay.
Mm-hmm. That's really the guy's name.
I know. I'm okay. Kermit Ernest Hollingshead Love, an American puppet maker, puppeteer, costume designer, and actor in children's television and on Broadway. Mm-hmm. Wow. Kermit Love. See, he was born in New Jersey. Spring Lake.
Wow. Do you know him?
Go Kermit Love. He was born in 1916. It was a little bit before me.
Oh, okay.
He's dead, though.
Aw, wah, wah.
Wah, wah. It's just funny that somebody stepped in by that name. Do you know that Spiny and also Spiny or Spinny?
Spinny. I don't know. I've always said Spinny. Spinny? It's two N's. One N would be Spiny.
Okay. Spinny performed as Granny Bird, Big Bird's grandmother.
Oh. Without makeup.
Which was actually a spare Big Bird puppet.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Nice. Very nice.
So he also does the voice for her, and many of Granny Bird's appearances are often alongside Big Bird. Her voice is usually pre-recorded so that Spiny can perform Big Bird. Spiny was one of the many puppeteers of a Muppet named Baby Monster in the 1970s.
Okay.
Baby Monster. I don't remember that one. Wow.
You're too young.
Maybe. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Well, good on him. I mean, it sucks for the children of today, but, you know.
There'll always be something else, like Baby Shark, to take their place.
Oh, God.
You're familiar with Baby Shark?
I didn't know what that was until I saw a video on YouTube about it.
I still have not seen this video.
I don't get some of the entertainment today.
No?
There's a new, like, viral video.
Of the weird guy dancing? Like, he's boxing?
The Russian thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, where at the very end, like, Godzilla shows up?
Yes.
I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's like, they're all trying to be, like, the guys from Norway with the, what does the fox say?
Yes.
They're all trying to be those guys, and it's like, the weirder we can make it, the more people will watch this. And it's got like 50 million views or something.
It's insane. But it's catchy. You want to watch, and you're like, what the hell am I watching?
Oh, what, like, is the it girl's called?
Gotta, it's Skibidi.
Skibidi.
Yeah, Skibidi. Skibidi. Pop, pop, pop. I love when he goes and he buys the vodka, and then he's drinking it as he's walking down the street, and it's getting all over him.
Yeah, I mean, this thing's got almost 35 million views.
Yeah.
Yeah, the baby doll on the thing is a little creepy, doing the dance.
Oh, I think the girlfriend's creepy.
Well,
she's got that weird stare going on.
But she's got big boobs, which is why she's in it.
Skibidi wap 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 wap. Bing bing bing.
I mean,
oh, here he is. Spine the vodka. They also sell kielbasa.
Because why wouldn't you? Yeah, him walking down the street trying to drink it.
Yes. Here we go. There he is. Hello. Now he's walking up the stairs to his girlfriend's place.
It's such a weird fucking video. Uh-huh. Yeah, her in lingerie with the weird stare is just kind of unsettling.
Yeah. Is she being held against her will?
Blink if you're held against your will. No? All right, never mind.
And there's the weird guy with the dreadlock mohawk thing.
Yeah.
And the cats and the girls dancing.
Yeah, it's a weird fucking video.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure it's going to be the new hit thing for fucking YouTube Rewind this year.
Well, it's the new Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good song, but It's crazy.
And it gets people laughing and...
Yes.
God, that's so weird. Yeah, and then that really weird pullout at the end where, like, the buildings are jumping.
Yeah.
And Godzilla shows up and it's like, what? Little big. See, that makes me now want to look at what other videos he's done. Little Big AK-47. Oh, that looks weird too. Oh, he does a thing like the Disney Open. Even in the Disney font.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sure Disney will be all over that.
Yep. Oh, here's Godzilla.
Oh, you got to watch AK-47. If you think Skibidi is weird, AK-47 takes us to a whole different level.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, they're actually putting people in Disney films in this.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. That's interesting. The Disney logo with the Kremlin?
Yes. Like, it gets worse, dude.
Oh, he's got his tours. Where's he going? Oh. Whoa, copyright infringement.
Oh, the girlfriend's back.
Oh, my.
Oh, they're all over the place with this. Rick and Morty's in this video? I'm really surprised that somebody hasn't had them take this down. I guess the creepy girlfriend is part of the band?
Really? Oh, is that her in the leotard?
Maybe.
With Sleeping Beauty? Wow.
There's something to tell your friends about at work tomorrow. I mean, he also has one from 2 years ago called Big Dick. That's got 43 million views.
Wow.
Every single one of these episodes, every single one of these videos has over 30 million views. Wow. Wow, this is amazing. In the Big Dick video, he's playing a piano with his dick.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a little person in it, John. Now you're going to have to watch.
Oh, great. Well.
Oh, my God. Okay, if you've got kids, don't watch Big Dick.
All right, then. Well, hey.
Wow. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Okay, this is too much.
Yeah.
This is way too much. Although Big Dick does have a little woman dancing.
In
case you want to watch that.
Okay, thanks.
Wow, okay. Well, that was... everybody go watch Big Dick, I guess. I guess this dude put out an album called Funeral Rave.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, well, this has been interesting.
Yes, it has. always end strong.
Okay. Everybody should go look up Skibidi and then go to his other page and look at all the other weird shit that he's doing.
And you should make your own video version of Skibidi. It'll be another Numa Numa Hey. Can't wait to see what you come up with. I believe Skibbity will be on Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve with my corpse. What?
Nothing.
No?
No.
I think this is the year that Ryan Seacrest actually steps on the corpse.
Oh, okay. And trips?
Yes.
And he falls and breaks his head on the ball. And the ball comes down all bloody.
Actually, he tries to kiss Dick Clark's wife. She's not having any of it. It's kind of sad. Anyway, well.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Hey, Chris, what do you call a time-traveling cow?
What?
Dr. Moo.